Along with Charlie, I too want to welcome everyone here. And we do have several visitors this morning, and we thank you for coming. And it is our desire that you'll come back at 5 o'clock this evening. Come back every chance you get, because you're always a special guest for us here at Prairie Village, an honored guest. As always, I ask you to open your Bibles and follow along with me, because I don't want you to take my word. You should never take any man's word, only the Word of God, the Bible. Brethren, there are some sermons that need to be preached over and over during a period of time, and this is one of them. I last preached this sermon back in March of 2016. I hope that none of us ever get to the point where we take the local church or the local congregation for granted. We must remember that God is the one who set this system up, not man. If you would, turn your Bibles to Acts, the 9th chapter. Acts chapter 9. Identification with the local church was a practice of the New Testament days, and as one example is seen in Acts 9 and verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he assayed to join himself to the disciples. Do we all know and appreciate the blessings of being a part of a congregation that is a working congregation, a congregation that is at peace, a congregation that loves each other, and most importantly, a congregation that loves the Lord? I believe we have that here at Prairie Village. Do we really appreciate it, I wonder? In order to realize this blessing, we need a sense of obligation to Prairie Village, the body of Christ here. If you have not placed membership or been identified with a local congregation, you must do so to be in the faith. If there's anyone here this morning who desires to become a member of the Prairie Village Church of Christ, or if there's anyone here this morning that has left the Prairie Village Church of Christ and wants to come back and work with this congregation, God has made provisions for you to do either or both. So let's spend our time this morning talking about the local church and what I owe to it, or what you and I owe to it. Please open your Bibles and go ahead and open your Bibles to Acts 8th chapter with me. Acts chapter 8. Now, in the New Testament, the church is spoken of in two senses. It is first spoken of in a universal sense, referring to all of the saved. The Hebrew writer referred to it as the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven. Hebrews 12:23. When Jesus said, "I will build my church," in Matthew 16:18, it was of the church in the universal sense that he was speaking. When Paul speaks of being baptized into one body, he was speaking of the church universally. In Acts 2 and verse 47, the Bible tells us, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." When an individual renders his or her obedience to the gospel and receives remission of their sins, they are added by the Lord to the church in the universal sense, to the body of the saved. Look with me in Acts, the 8th chapter, if you would, and let's read verses 35 through 39. Verse 35, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Now when the eunuch came up out of the water, he was saved and added to the one body of the saved, to the church in the universal sense. Now, this body of Christ, this church in the universal sense, has no obligation to meet together, has no authority to appoint worldwide officers, has no authority to collect the treasury, has no authority to do anything as a collective body. It does exist solely as a spiritual entity that denotes spiritual connection. Now, the Bible indicates that only the Lord knows the number of its members, and only He could add to or take away their name, that which is would be same as the Lamb's Book of Life. I want you to consider with me, if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Please turn with me. Let's read together. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. Paul wrote in verse 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." If you would now turn quickly over to Revelation 3 and verse 5. Revelation 3 and verse 5. The Bible says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Now, there are individual activities that we do because of our relationship to Christ in this universal body. I am a Christian, part of the universal church, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and every action in my life should reflect who and what I am. As a Christian, I vote, I work, I function as a citizen of my country, I perform as a husband and a father, and do all the other activities, always realizing that Christ lives in me. Look at Galatians 2 and verse 20, please. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul wrote these beautiful words. He said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Isn't that beautiful? All of us related to the universal church and the Christian's place, and it is true, but there is another sense in which the word church is used in the New Testament. That is in the local sense, or as in a local or a local congregation. Now, we read of the church of God, which is at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. We read of Paul receiving support from churches in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 8. And we read of the churches of Galatia in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1. All of this indicates locality, speaking of the church in a local sense as a local congregation. I may leave one local congregation as I move to another city or a place and join another there, while never ceasing to be a Christian nor ceasing to belong to the church in the universal sense. We read of Paul, we read earlier, Paul in Acts 9 and verse 26, seeking to join himself to the disciples in Jerusalem. He was seeking to identify with the local church there. It's clear from the New Testament that God expects all Christians to belong to a local congregation and to worship and work within that group. Now, there are responsibilities that I have as a member of a local church that are additional to the ones that I have as a member of the universal church. The question to you is, what then do I owe the church of which I am a member? What do I owe the congregation here at Prairie Village? Well, the first thing I like to mention is this. As a member of Prairie Village, I owe this local congregation the same kind of allegiance that I give to the Lord, because Prairie Village is the body of Christ in this place. You know what, brethren? In a local congregation, or any local congregation, this may surprise you, but there are people who are not perfect. As a matter of fact, everybody in every local congregation is not perfect. But I have to be able to remember that the church is a divine institution made up of humans and that there are going to be problems from time to time because of that truth. Whenever I think of a church having problems, I don't know about you, but I think of the Corinthian church. Now there was a church with some real problems. I'm going to give you these problems that the church of Corinth had chapter by chapter. So if you'd like to get this later, let me know. But in chapter 1, we read about a bad case of preacheritis. In chapter 5, we read of incest being tolerated in the church. In chapter 6, it is the sad story of brethren going to law or to court against one another. In chapter 7, there's marriage problems. In chapters 8 and 10, problems some were having making the complete separation with understanding from idolatry. In chapter 9, some were denying Paul's apostleship. In chapter 11, they were abusing the Lord's Supper. In chapters 12 through 14, they were abusing the miraculous spiritual gifts, demonstrating pride, and a lot of other improper attitudes. In chapter 14 again, the problem of women acting out of place in the assemblies. And in chapter 15, some were denying the resurrection. Now my friends, this was a congregation with some serious, serious problems. But Paul didn't give up on it. He didn't give up and go running away because of its eternal struggles. He chose to seek to work out their serious problems to help them correct their sins. He addressed them as the church of God which is at Corinth to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Indeed, the Bible teaches the necessity of being in fellowship with other Christians in a local congregation, just as we are, just one of the reasons for gospel meetings that we go to and people come here. There's no such things in the New Testament as a floating membership. I seriously doubt that under normal circumstances, God recognizes as faithful one who refuses to settle down with the local congregation. Neither is there anything such as a membership back home. It is simply not scriptural to attend one congregation for years while claiming membership somewhere else. So we need local church membership because we need association with saints, Acts 2:42. We need oversight of the elders, Acts 20 and verse 28. We need spiritual discipline, Galatians 6 verses 1 and 2. And we need collective worship, Acts 20 and verse 7. And we need service in the church, Ephesians 3 verse 20 and 21. And we receive many blessings from our membership in a local church. However, these benefits come only as we discharge our obligations as members. We have things we need to do also. As members, we must make sure that the truth is taught, Ephesians 5 and verse 14. As members, we are told to obey the elders, Hebrews 13 and verse 17. As members, we ought to live righteous as examples to others, Matthew the 5th chapter, verses 14 through 16. As members, we need to admonish our brethren, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. As members, we are commanded to maintain unity and harmony, Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. As members, we are to give of our means, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. As members, we are to participate in the program of the work here, Ephesians 2, 10. And as members, we are required to attend all assemblies possible. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. Now, secondly, I owe the body of Christ here at Prairie Village the exhortation that we all mutually need to remain strong and steadfast. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 10, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 10. Now most of us know Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23 and 24, which says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." Brethren, there are so many obstacles in our walk with the Lord. Each of us can become discouraged. Each of us can weaken a little bit and get tired. But you know what? The Lord knew that. He knew that, and He made provisions in the local church for us to help one another. It's so interesting to me that even the animals in nature understand that there's strength and protection in numbers. Did you know that when quail nest, they do so on the ground in a circle, several of them together and protecting one another? Well, I don't mind telling you that there are many, many times when I need the help of those of like precious faith. It's a tremendous blessing that we fail to receive. It's a tremendous blessing that we fail to receive and a tremendous blessing that we fail to provide when we do not come or when we fail to be with other Christians exhorting and being exhorted. The world is constant in its exhortation through television, radio, the worldliness of fellow employees, just the sinful environment to which we are exposed every day. The world is like a river running over stone of faith. It can slowly wear it away. And we need to have it constantly renewed, brethren. My brethren at Prairie Village need it, and so do I. Third, I owe Prairie Village faithful attendance to its work. Now this includes participation in all of its efforts, but especially so in opportunities to worship. We didn't continue in our reading of Hebrews chapter 10 just a moment ago, but we could certainly have gone on and read verses 25 through 27. Let's do that now. Hebrews 10, verse 25 through 27. The Hebrew writer says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation shall devour the adversaries." Did you notice something here, brethren? Did you notice that just to decide not to attend an assembling of ourselves together is called sinning willfully? Have you ever thought about it? That's pretty serious business. Sinning willfully. That's when you don't come to church when you can and when you should. That's sinning willfully in God's eyes. Show me a 1 hour, only a week Christian, 1 hour a week Christian, and you'll be looking at a Christian who could be a whole lot stronger than he or she should be. And from the ranks of those who attend but 1 hour a week or 1 hour a month or less, don't come elders and don't come preachers or teachers. I can assure you of that. They cannot be depended on for any kind of work on a regular basis. And Paul exhorted us in 1 Corinthians 15:58. You remember what he said? He said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Such individuals are steadfast in their lack of effort. Their lack of effort. All these folks expect the building to be open, cool, heated, cleaned, and paid for. They expect all the services to be manned by those who see that the job is completed, but they themselves cannot be counted on to faithfully help in any of these areas. In every congregation, there are a few so distanced from the work and the members that the doors could be shut for a month or so and they would never know it. This passage clearly indicates the will of God touching the matter of public worship. Then why is it so neglected? Well, in every congregation, there are some members who view such gatherings as entirely optional. That's sad. Because God certainly does not view worship to Him optional. They'll come when they have nothing else to do. They'll be absent because of ball practice, extracurricular church functions, family reunions, or family holiday gatherings, you name it. Some who are careful to attend the Sunday morning service will skip other opportunities to worship the same God and learn more of His Word. Such behavior is rebellious against the Lord of glory. And it places the convenience of the worshiper above the true worship of true object of worship. In essence, it says, I know what the Lord said, but I think, and you fill in the blank. How does that compare with the early disciples of the Lord that we read of in Acts 2:42? Let's look at that. Acts 2, verse 42. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers. They never quit, brethren. They never quit working for the Lord. However, this is not to say that we should not be interested in the work at other places, nor is it always wrong to be in attendance somewhere besides the local church. It is all right and sometimes even necessary to be away and to visit occasionally with other churches. But no Christian should do so to the neglect of his responsibilities at home because of biblical emphasis on the essentiality of local church membership. This is especially true, brethren, in small congregations like we have here at Prairie Village. But I must remind you, it was not easy for our Lord to leave his heavenly existence, take the form of a servant, suffer the toils of a peasant existence, and then to endure the indignities of his trial and then the agony of the cross. Think about that. Would you do that for him? Would you do that for sinful mankind? Would you do what he did? You better think twice before you say, give an answer on that. Just consider, what if Jesus had gone to a family reunion that day? Or what if he would have made him miss a great sporting event that day? Or what if he was just too tired to come to services? And by the way, that's his only day off. What if? What if? Think about it. I owe Prairie Village my financial support. God doesn't need our money. He owns the world. However, it is obviously required by the Lord that faithful Christians support the work of our Lord with their money. Over and above opportunities of giving and good works that we can do for individuals, we are commanded, not suggesting, we are commanded to support the local treasury. We're all familiar with 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, and 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. When we give, we are giving to the Lord, brethren. Surely Acts 5 and the account of Ananias and Sapphira makes that clear. Well, you may ask, does the church need the money? Does the church need the money? Of course the church needs it. Prairie Village will always need it because of the Lord expects us to be involved in evangelism, teaching those who are already saved, and benevolence for the saints in need. There will never be a surplus of money above that need not here where the saints are interested in doing the work the Lord has gave us to do and not hoarding up money. As a member of Prairie Village, you and I, all of us, have a responsibility. Yes, brethren, we have a responsibility, but also it is a privilege to share in the support of this great work. There's one more thing that I'd like to mention that you owe the Prairie Village as a member here. You and I owe this local congregation a proper attitude towards each other and every member in it. I need to love my brethren, and not in word only, but in deed. We hear and we know of congregations that are split and divided by animosities and fussings within themselves. But we all owe it to the Lord and to the brethren to do as Paul commanded in Ephesians 4 and verse 3 when he wrote, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Come with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. You know, there's a joy of brotherhood and a blessing of unity that ought to prevail in a local congregation. one that is free of factions and strife. And this congregation will continue to function free of factions and strife as long as we all remember to adhere to Paul's exhortation in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Let's read together. Philippians 2, 1 through 8. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, feel ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found as a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm only one, and you're only one. But this one is important. We will each stand before God in the judgment, and we will give an account of what we have done. We all desire to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And we will hear it if we have used our ability to the glory of God. Now, many Christians are not fervently for the Lord, nor are they against Him. They simply have become indifferent towards Him and His cause. They're called lukewarm in by the Lord. And it is said God will spew them out of His mouth. Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16. So, brethren, hear me now. Life is regularly drained from the local church because of membership indifference. Membership indifference. Come with me now to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, too many of us just simply will not listen to the admonition of the Lord. When Peter gave what we call the Christian graces, he concluded by warning in verse 10 of 2 Peter 1, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if we do these things, you shall never fall." Brethren, God in His infinite wisdom has provided this congregational local setting for His people so that we can grow together and encourage and be encouraged together, worship in peace and harmony together, and get a foretaste of heaven itself together. So if you're not a Christian, we plead with you to come forward, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. You then will be added to the Lord's church by the Lord Himself, and then you can declare your desire to be a working member here at Prairie Village. If there's anyone here this morning who has left their first love and have sinned in a manner that others are aware of, we pray that you too will come forward and we sing the invitation song after you repented to God and come forward and let us pray with you and pray for you. You then will be a member in good standing in the Prairie Village Church of Christ and with God. We can help anyone in any way make their life right with God. Please come now as we stand and as we sing.